Why did Jesus tell us to be merciful? Because we will be rewarded in heaven? Because it's the only way to overcome evil? Or because God is merciful to us? Why did Jesus tell us to be merciful? How many say because we will be rewarded in heaven? Anybody? How about because the only way to overcome evil is to be merciful? How about God is merciful to us? Hallelujah. Luke 6:36, because God is merciful to you and merciful to me, we should be merciful to others. That's a big word, amen? That's a big word. Where do the words we speak come from? Where do the words that we speak come from? From our thoughts, from what we hear, or from our hearts? Where do the words that we speak come from? How many think from our thoughts, the words we speak? How about from what we hear, we speak? How about from our hearts? Well, look at you guys. Look at you guys. You guys are making me very proud as a pastor. My people know the Bible, amen? That's one of the pastor's biggest wishes, that his people would know the Word of God. The words we speak are good men from good treasures and evil men evil treasures. If you're a good man, you speak good things. If you're an evil man, out of the treasures of your heart, you speak evil. Very good. The abundance of the heart. Your heart. What does the preacher of Ecclesiastes consider the gift of God? The preacher of Ecclesiastes. And who was the preacher? Solomon. We got a winner. Hold your tickets. Solomon was the preacher of Ecclesiastes. What did he consider the gift of God? Man's enjoyment of the fruit of his labor? Large families? Or a house full of women? Yeah, Larry, that was too easy. That was too easy. Okay, you got a 50-50 chance to get it right. What does the preacher of Ecclesiastes consider the gift of man? Man's enjoyment for the fruit of his labor? Or large families? We get any large family? Large families. The preacher of Ecclesiastes says man's enjoyment of the fruit of his labors. That is what the preacher considers a gift of God. That you enjoy what you do. Come on in, Sandy. We're warm down here. Trust me. You'll be happy. It was 26 this morning. I think, Deacon Jim, what was it this morning up there? 38, that's cold enough. What does the preacher of Ecclesiastes consider the gift of God? Understand what he's saying. It's man's enjoyment of the fruit of his labors. The things you do every day, the things you create, your life, the things you work on, those are your enjoyments, and those are a gift from God. Could you all say amen to that? That's a gift from God. You need to see God in your life. I know I do. According to Ecclesiastes, why is two better than one? House full of women. That didn't work. According to Ecclesiastes, why is two better than one? Because it makes certain tasks easier? Because they have a good reward for their labor? Or it is not good for man to be alone? I heard that before. According to Ecclesiastes, this is a good one, I guess, right? A good one, right? According to Ecclesiastes, why is two better than one? Ready? It makes certain tasks easier. They have a good reward for their labor. It's not good for man to be alone.
The answer is in Genesis.
God said that to Adam, right?
Yeah.
He said it to Adam because Adam was...
Alone.
You're not alone. That's not you. Because they will have a good reward for their labor. When you work side by side with somebody and you build something, you finish something, you both can look at it and you have this extra reward because you built it together. You did it together, the works of your labor. That's why two is better than one. Because you can share the memory with them. Amen. Deacon Chuck, freezing and cold. Deacon Chuck loves the cold, evidently. I have one more today. One more. Who was it in the Old Testament who hit a rock with a stick? Who was it in the Old Testament who hit a rock with a stick? Was it Jonah?
No.
Was it Noah? Or was it Moses? Who in the Old Testament hit a rock with a stick? How many think Jonah? We all know Jonah. How about Noah? Noah must have been mad. How about Moses? Y'all Moses be mad. That question comes to you from David Wilkinson this morning. And the reason why Dave and I put that in there is he was watching Jeopardy. And now you had an advantage of multiple choice. But you know Jeopardy, those real smart people? There was a Bible question saying, who in the Old Testament hit a rock with a stick? None of them got it. In fact, only one person of the three, only one of the three even ventured to guess. And he said Isaiah. So you understand what, I mean, this is the show where they ask questions that how can anybody know the answer to, yet they know the answer to it, yet they didn't know who hit a rock with a stick, but you all did. Give yourself praise. Yeah, I like hearing that. Good stuff. Good stuff. Marilyn, thank you for the bulletin. Thank you for the scripture reading. Let's read together our responsive reading. I don't want to forget that. Marilyn put it in our bulletin. We should do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Blessed is the man. Oh, that's you, right? No. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Your turn.
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord has not imputed iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
And what blessed is a place of favor with God. Who doesn't want that? When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Isn't that awesome? And you said, your hand was heavy upon me. You know what that means? That means sometimes you go through trials and tribulations, and sometimes he lets you go through trials and tribulations, and it feels like God's hand is heavy on you, but you're the one going through it. You're the one that walked into it. You're the one that's doing it, not him. But the second you realize that you're the one doing it, you turn to him, and what does he do according to this? He forgives your iniquities. You see, those times you think his hand's heavy on you, it's not him. It's where we walk with him, what we do with him, that he sees that. And how many know he allows you to sin? I mean, that's people get, why would he allow you to sin? Well, we're not puppets and we're not robots. He made us with free will. He made us to love him because we want to, not because we had to. And God would chastise his children. If God didn't chastise us and didn't correct us, he would not love us. Everybody understand that? If God didn't chastise you or correct you, then he would not love you. And that's very important. Anybody here have children and grandchildren? And anybody living? This is important for you to understand. If God doesn't challenge them or challenge you or do that with you, he doesn't love you. If he doesn't correct you, then you're not listening. Amen? Because the Bible says we sin daily, and you all said you were sinners. That's part of the message today, and I want you all to receive it with love and with kindness, because I have blessings for you. You come to this church today and expected it to be nice and warm upstairs and all that, but I'm telling you, I have a message for you to take home. Amen? For yourself and for me. The word is repentance. We said it in the scripture readings. We said it when we were reading together in the quiz. The word is repentance, and it's not... it's not stop sinning, it's a change of heart. It's a change of thinking. It's a new perspective on reality and action. Personal, it's a turn. You turn around, you flee from sin. Let me tell you something, it's a good thing.
Yes.
Thank you, for you and for others with you. For others with you.
Yes.
It's a change of heart that leads others to God, to repentance. A new beginning, cleansed by who? God. Does God cleanse your sins? Not my will, but your will be done. And not with words. It may take a minute, but it's worth every effort. It is what God has called us all to do. All of us. Our lives may be different. Our lives are totally different. We have our different battles, but God is with us through each battle. But how does this repentance start? Maybe you're going to hear this again, but maybe you never thought of it this way. How do we begin to repent? The Bible says to forgive 7 times 70. Oh, there's that word again. Forgive us as we forgive those who
trespass against us.
So God is saying forgive 7 times 70. We hear that a lot. It's easier said than done, right? Right? It's easier said. Yet we forget. Ready? How many times has God forgiven you this week?
Oh,
you say, well, it's easy for him. After all, he's God, right? to release another. To forgive means to release another, to dismiss the debt. Forgiveness is a decision, an act of love. Imagine that, an act of love. Not even because another is deserving of it, but it is an act of mercy. Did we just not read about being merciful? Did you not read that? It is not accepting the transgression. Please understand. And it's not weakness. In fact, it's spiritual strength. It releases the weight you're carrying and actually sets you free, not depending on how it's received. Isn't that beautiful? No matter how it's received, God in heaven sees that you forgave somebody. And what does it say? Forgive us as we, and God forgives you. You forgave somebody and they don't even care that you did. They don't receive it. But God says, you did that, I'm going to forgive you. That's, isn't that a blessing? You don't know how many things he's forgiven you from. Thank God he doesn't wake up one day and say, okay, I'm collecting today. Hallelujah. Well, he said it might not sound fair, but be kind. This is Ephesians. It's in your readings today, in your Bible scripture readings. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. 7 times 70. And I ask you again, church, why would God have to forgive you?
What did you do?
What did you do to ever earn forgiveness?
Believe.
What did you do? Well, maybe. Because it says, and again in your scripture readings, it says, for my sin is always before me against you. You only have I sinned. David wrote that, and it's in your thing, Psalm 51. You can take that home and read it again. To forgive is to receive a blessing from God. Anybody ever think of that? You're thinking about wanting that person. I'm going to forgive that person. But when you forgive that person, you receive a blessing from God. Everybody should know this. This is the God of the Bible. This is our promise. This is beautiful. When you forgive somebody, God said you receive a blessing. My forgiveness. Hallelujah. Forgiving others brings us to a place of forgiveness from God. It may, in fact, bring new spiritual life into the one forgiven. Everybody ever thought about that? Once in a while it happens. They can see and hear God in you. Imagine that. Somebody that you think doesn't even know about God can hear and see God in you. That's amazing. You mean I can do that? Yes, to their heart. You can get to their heart sometimes. Remorse. Maybe they're remorse for offending you. Maybe they're taking something from you. They have guilt, if you will. But we got to let them have that guilt. Understand that? If they don't accept your forgiveness, that's okay. You let them have that guilt because that guilt will bring them to a new place. Because if they don't have that guilt, why should they even accept your forgiveness? Why should they repent? Think about that. Repenting is a new awakeness. This is so cool. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Giving and receiving. Brings a new awareness to both parties, you and the person you forgave. Whether they receive it or not, they found something new in you. They had something they didn't expect. I forgave and I was forgiven. It feels good. It does. Both sides. If that happens, it brings a new life and a new spirit, yours and theirs. Imagine the power that you have in forgiving somebody who hears that and realizes, boy, I must have done something. I got to not do that again. And all of a sudden, they become blessed because they realize what you did that you gave them forgiveness for. That new life is called repentance. To a believer, repentance is part of salvation. Anybody ever hear that? I'm going to show you in a minute because we all know what salvation is. But repentance, to repent, is part of your salvation. I'll show you later. I promise I will. And you'll say, I didn't know that way. But I want you to see that. Repentance, part of salvation. It is not salvation, but it is part of it. Aware of God in your life today. Even if forgiveness is not accepted or wanted or asked for, it's still working in you and the one you forgave. Isn't that important? We forgive to be set free. That's why you forgive, to be set free. What? Move on and your debt's paid. But if you want more in return, that's not forgiveness. You all understand that? If you're forgiving somebody but you still want something, that's not forgiveness. But God calls us all to do one thing in the Bible. What does he call us to do? To repent. And what is repent? A change of heart. And what is forgiveness? A change of heart. You see the connection? You say, I'm set free. I'm not going to go back there. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to hold on to, and you fill in the blank, whatever you're holding on to. Hallelujah. I just want to bless you so much today. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these words. I pray that you reach them. We don't go back to the same dry well over and over, right? We don't do that. Who would do that? Well, I said that, I wrote that that's called wisdom. You don't keep going back to the same dry well and that becomes wisdom because you know better. You're a child of God. All of you. All of you are child of God. You are children of God. You're heirs to the kingdom. What does that mean? He loves you. Do you love him?
Yes.
Yeah, he loves you. You're not to be abused. Do you ever think about that? You're not to, he didn't make you to be, you're not to be lied to or have your forgiveness used against you. Anybody ever see that? You forgive somebody and again they just come back and use it again and they take advantage of you because of your forgiveness, because of your compassion. Hallelujah. To allow someone to take advantage of your compassion is not God. It's not what God called us to do. It's not how God calls us to do. So you don't want to be in a position where you enable somebody to do that. Amen? That's important. It's part of forgiveness and repentance. Right in the middle is enabling that. You are worthy. Say that with me. You are worthy. You are not to be, you are a child of God. You're not to be lied to. You're not to be misused. And the people that you forgive because you love them so much and you keep forgiving them, they take advantage of that forgiveness. And that's a sin. Unfortunately, that's enabling sin. And I have to be honest. Do not be deceived. And this is in Corinthians. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. I want you to write that down later, please. It's in your thing, but please, it's in your bulletin. But listen to that again. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. That's how it works. That's how you hang around and you all this stuff, and all of a sudden you become that. That's how it works. This is the truth. People make their own choices. Somebody? Right?
Amen.
You made your own choices. People make their... So should you. If they made their own choices, so should you. There are consequences for our actions. How we manage our affairs. If someone is foolish and we enable them, what are we teaching them? Think about that. If somebody you love is being really foolish, whatever they're doing in their life, and we just don't say anything, we enable them to do that, what are we teaching them? What are we protecting them from? Think about that. The people you love the most, that you're enabling to sin, enabling to be rude, to be that way to you, to mock your forgiveness, to lie to you, to yell at you, to do that's enabling them to do things against God and against you, against your God. And they won't stand and see that. They won't repent because there's no reason to. Hallelujah. People make their own choices. So should you. There are consequences for our actions. How we manage our affairs. And again, I'll say, if someone is foolish and we enable them, what are we teaching them or protecting them from? And here's the truth. We can actually be enabling sin to exist. Think about that. By enabling the people that we love so much, we're actually enabling sin to exist. Who would want that? Would God want that? Of course not. Is that what Jesus would want for us, for you? No, of course not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, God corrects us. Anybody ever been corrected by God? I mean, really corrected by God. I mean, chastised. Anybody ever felt chastised? Oh my God, I'm getting whipped here today, Lord. Anybody ever feel that way, that God was mad at you and you're trying to figure out what to do? Right, there's my hand up. He does that because he loves you. If he enabled us, he would not love us. If he enabled us to keep doing all the garbage we're doing and saying all the things and acting like we're doing, he wouldn't love us because he wants to protect us. And the only way to protect us is to keep us straight. Sometimes give him one upside the head. Remember that? Everybody ever hear that? I give him one upside the head. Sometimes God wants to give you one upside the head because he knows your life is being destroyed. What you're doing is wrong. You're taking abuse. You're enabling. You're lying. You're lying to yourself. And I can't bless that. I can't get in there. You won't let me in. You're actually enabling sin to exist. So God corrects and chastises us because he loves us. If he enabled us, he would not love us. God teaches us by allowing us to go through trials and tribulations. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And here's the next line. Ones that we make ourselves. Not me, Lord. I don't do any of that.
Careful, you got your wife in the audience.
a room full of women. Yeah, I didn't fall for that at all, did you? If God didn't love us and chastise us and correct us and enable us just to fall into sin and do all the things that we then talk like we want to talk and act like we want to act and say things to other people and treat other people and just abuse and to take advantage of people, he wouldn't love us. That's not what he raised us. That's why we turn to him, because he turned to us and we turn to him to have a better life. To have a better life today. I'm going to get into that in just a second. A better life for you today. These are blessings that I'm talking about. Maybe you never saw them. Forgiving is a blessing, because when you forgive, you receive a blessing from God. When you repent, you receive a blessing from God. When you repent means you have a change of heart. Hallelujah. God teaches us by allowing us to go through trials and tribulations, ones that we make ourselves. Well, how does that work? Easy. We hear him. Even when you're sinning, you hear him. Isn't that great? How many have ever had that? Even when you're doing something you know you're not supposed to do and you hear him, but you do it anyway. Anybody? Come on, be honest. You're doing it anyway, but you hear him. See, that's the difference. These people that don't never repent, they don't ever hear God. God doesn't exist. How many know that to people God does not exist? You see it in the world all day long. Thank you, Lord, that they had a Christmas party at the White House this week, and I was so happy, I was so excited that the person greeting them at the door said, "Happy Holidays," and the kids yelled, "Happy Christmas." Thank you, Lord. There is hope. Don't get me there. So we hear and we learn. Yes, we do. I know we do. I'm looking out here. We grow. We become responsible Christians. You all love God? You want to be a responsible Christian. So we repent. There's that word again. You repent. And it's not a bad word. It simply means have a change of heart. That means trusting God more. That means, God, your ways are better than mine.
Thank you, Lord.
Then we enable. These we enable. The people that we enable, listen, will never come to repentance. Think about that. Mrs. C, I remember somebody saying that to you once. Why should they change? What's changed, right? When we enable people, they will never come to repentance. And again, I wrote right here, why should they? That is enabling sin. In a friend, family, loved one, whatever you have, somebody that you love, your child, whatever that person is, your husband, your wife, when you're enabling that, they won't repent. Why should they? But God is working in you. The God we love, our Father in heaven, is working in you. You trust him. Even with that, trust him. Let him work on those you love too. Because you want those you love to come to repentance. You want those you love to realize that they're taking advantage, or they're lying to you, or they're deceiving you, or you're enabling. That, never mind them, you're enabling the sin. And if they don't ever come to repentance, what victory do you have with those that you love and care about, right? You want those people to come to repentance, but if you never do anything for it, they won't do it. You enable them. Let God work that out with them. Trust God. You got to really trust God with some of this stuff. Amen. You really got to trust him with this and believe. Look at where you are today. Look at where you are. Where would you be without God? Think about it. Think of all the things he's done for you this week. And you say, that's what I want for my loved ones. That's what I want for my family, for my friends. I want them to find you, Lord. Repentance, salvation, and blessings. I mean, I already said before, repentance is part of salvation. Maybe you never heard that. I'm going to try to explain it better. So how many times should I repent? 7 times 70? You forgive 7 times 70. How many times should I repent? I simply wrote, how many times should I repent? How about every day? Amen. Anybody do anything wrong yesterday? Anybody have a thought? I look at Dave and I laugh. We were at Bible study Tuesday night, and that was a deep one. Thank you for being there. We did Revelation. Boy, I got myself in deep with that one. That was tough. But I look at Dave and I say all the time, that man doesn't sin. I don't never heard a bad word out of his mouth. I've never seen him angry. I've never seen him this. And I think, Deacon Chuck, how do we round this guy? He just like, I don't know. And then Dave says to me, I asked God for forgiveness every day. And I'm thinking, for what?
You know how many people I attract because of the way I am. They may not learn or know who God or Jesus is, but I attract them.
They see a spirit in you. I tell you all the time that God, you will be attracting people. When your spirit is like what we're preaching about today, you will attract people. People love goodness. They don't admit it, and they're afraid of it, and they can't do it, but they love goodness. When you're good to people, they love you. Trust me, that's the truth. When you're kind to people, they love it. They're going to take advantage of you. That's why you can't enable them. And they're going to do things against you because they see how compassionate you are, and that's why you can understand that God loves you. You forgive yourself daily, too, and He doesn't call you to be abused. He doesn't call you to be lied to. He doesn't want you to be lied to or taken advantage of. But you see, that's the goodness of God. He just loves us like that. Hallelujah. God is working on you. He's working on you all today. Trust Him. So repentance, salvation, and blessings. How many times should I repent? And I wrote down. How about every day? Do it. Don't say it. Why do you fight with God when He tells you what to do to have good success, to prosper, to have health, strong family, and lead others to Christ? Why do we fight with Him? Why do we fight with God when He tells us, follow me and I will bless you. Follow me and your family will be blessed. Raise your family with me and you'll be blessed. You'll have strong bones when you're healthy. You say kind words, it makes you healthy. You have my peace that surpasses your understanding. Why do we fight with Him? Think about that. I wrote that down and thought about it I'm thinking, why do we fight with God when He tells us what to do to have good success, to prosper, health, strong family, to lead others to Christ? But we fight Him. And I just simply say, you believe, so repent. How many here were baptized this summer, right? In October with us, right? I tell you again, repent. Have a change of heart. That's why you did it. You got baptized to say, God, I repent, God, please. And then you gotta let the dead go. You gotta let the devil go. That's called repentance. Because if you just did it as an action, there was nothing worth it to you. You just got wet. You see, the baptism was repentance. You were admitting that you were a sinner. When I got in that tub, I couldn't wait. I was admitting, and I couldn't wait to be washed clean. And come on, I didn't come out to do the same thing I did 10 minutes before I got clean. I want to do it daily because I'm cutting pieces of myself off every day. I pray I am. I pray that there's things in me that I couldn't do 6 months ago, a year ago, that I'm doing today. I pray that my lips stay shut and my tongue stays in my mouth half the time. Because when you say things, you hurt people, and you don't even know how you hurt people with your attitude or with your tongue, and you hurt them, and that's hard to forget. You can forgive people, but that stays with you. You know what you said to me? You know how that hurt me? Well, forget it. I forgive you, but it's hard to forget. That's why you got to cut off pieces of you every day. You got things to work on. I know I do. Hallelujah. You were baptized, repent. Here's the thing about God. He's not fighting against you. You are. You're not being truthful with yourself. Sometimes we are. We think, well, that's I said the right thing or I did the right thing. And that's not being truthful. Because you know you could have done it better or could have done it different. And that's just, you're fighting against you, not God. And I wrote this, and I didn't want to say it, but I wrote it. That's insane. Isn't that insane that we fight against God, who wants to bless us and give us all that we have in our lives and to give you more than you ever thought possible and to love you more, yet we fight against that? We're not fighting against God. We're fighting against ourselves because we're not being truthful. What is salvation, church? What is salvation? It's believing in Christ as your Savior. That's salvation. What must you do to believe? What must you do to believe, right? You have to have a change of heart. And what is a change of heart? Repenting. You repented from the sins that you didn't want to accept. You didn't want to accept him right to that wall. You didn't accept him. And one day you repented and you accepted. You had a change of heart. That's why salvation and repentance are tied together. Because you repent and say, Lord, yes, I accept you. Take you into my heart. Because what did John the Baptist say? What was the first word that he said to people? Repent and be baptized. That means have a change of heart. All you sinners in the world, all you Jews and all you Gentiles and all you people, have a change of heart today and be baptized. So you see, repentance and salvation, it's almost the same word, because you can't have salvation without repenting. Think about it. It's quite a thought. What must you do to believe? Have a change of heart. What is a change of heart? A change of mind, change of action. Cause and effect, repent. Not stop sinning. People think, well, repenting is stop sinning. No, it's not stop sinning, but have a change of heart and mind causing you to stop sinning. You see, you didn't just stop because you can stop smoking for a day or whatever it is you're doing, you can stop. But you didn't have a change of heart. You got to have a change of heart where you don't want that anymore. You just decided that you don't want to be that person. You don't want to say those words. You don't want to act on that because you're repenting. You're having a change of heart. Is it easy? No. Does it take overnight? No. Sometimes it takes time. But the more you work on it, we're a work in progress. Anybody?
Yeah.
All right. Having a change of heart and mind causes you to stop sinning. It does. Repent is an action of the mind, body, and soul. When we are saved, we have a change of heart. It results in a new way, a new life, and a new you and me. And here's cool, right? Repenting is between you and who?
God.
Not me. I don't know if you repented or not. I don't. I mean, I pray that you do. And we're going to get to that, how we pray for others to do. But it's between you and God. You and God. So it's up to you whether you want to repent, or you can tell me, oh, I got baptized and I repented. That's great, but did you? See, that made it judge you. I'm not judging you, brother, because our sister, I saw that. But I really want you to repent. I want you to understand what that means. That you're fighting against God with all this other nonsense that you're doing. Why are you fighting against God? You're lying to yourself that whatever you're doing is okay. And I've done that many times in my life, and I'm being honest with you. I've done that many times in my early life that I thought what I was doing was okay, my way or the highway. And God took that highway and destroyed it in a second. I can't even find that road anymore. Thank you, Jesus. But thank you, Lord. No, clap for me, clap for you. Repent and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Listen to that. This is in your bulletin, again, in your scripture readings from Book of Acts. Listen to this. Repent is between you and God. It said, repent and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Is there anybody here who doesn't want that? Anybody? Anybody here who doesn't want your sins blotted out? So what do you got to do? Have a change of heart. And that means giving it to God. You see, that makes being aware that God is in your life and you're trying to walk as a... How many call yourself a Christian? That's what you're doing. You're trying to walk as a Christian, act as a Christian, treat others as a Christian. You're trying to draw others to Christ. Amen? That's so important. When you're trying to draw others to Christ, you've got to be Christ-like.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to have compassion, but you can't let people walk on you. You can't let people put... Because that's not compassion. That's enabling. So you've got all these little things that you're doing that you just say, I want to bless my children. I need to teach them the way. And sometimes if they got to go through a trial and tribulation like I did with my choices, then I will be there to protect them, but I'm not going to enable them. Because they will never come to repentance. They will never come to Christ. That's just something that should make your heart sad. Hallelujah. So faith and... Here's another thing. Faith and repentance. Another word, just like salvation and repentance, faith is repentance. How many believe God? Then you have faith. And so you can have faith and you repent. And you want others to repent because you have faith in God. So faith, how you use your repentance and how you use your faith is a circle. It's simple. It really is. God is always there, but he may let you fall into your sins. How many know that's true? And why is that true? Because it's still your choice. Praise the Lord. The Hebrew nation has fallen into their sins. Anybody say amen?
Amen?
You see it. People say, how come Israel doesn't love God? Because they've fallen into their sin. The Hebrew nation has fallen into their sin. God didn't put a wall up between them. Y'all know that's true, right? God never put a wall up between him and the Hebrew nation. Who did it? They did it. They did it. However, I got good news. Anybody want good news?
Yes.
God is always ready, willing, and able to accept repentance.
Amen.
Tear down that wall and receive them to himself again. And I want, and there's just people I wish that would hear this morning, and they're not, but I want to tell you that again. Yeah, the Israel nation, the Jewish nation has built a wall between them and God. God didn't build it, they built the wall. But God is ready, willing, and able to accept them back when they do one thing. What does that repent? What does that mean? And just when they repent and understand that they were wrong. And then God said, I will receive them. And one of the scriptures in the Bible that's so powerful, he's talking about people being blind and not hearing. And then he said, let them be, lest, I like that, I don't use that word very often, but lest, he said, lest that they see and hear, they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, that I may do what? Heal them. That's his promise. He's saying, you know, yeah, let the blind lead the blind and let them do what they're doing, lest they actually stop and see me and actually stop and hear me. And then he said right away, I will heal them. I will heal. I will bring them back to me if they repent. You see, it's that important. It's still an individual choice. Not everybody will. You understand that? Not everybody will repent. Not everybody in the Hebrew nation will. Not everybody in America. Not everybody in Canada, all over the world. Not everybody will. But we pray for those who haven't yet. It's still an individual choice. That's why we pray continually for all the lost. How many of the lost? All of, and why do we do that? That we pray for all of us to repent daily. I pray for you, and I pray for those people in the Hebrew nation. I pray for people to repent daily. Find God. He will accept you. See, that's our God. He doesn't hold a grudge. Not like people do. I always say, thank God he's God and we're not. He's not always looking around. He wants to clean your slate. He wants to lead you to a beautiful place. He wants you to prosper. What's wrong with that word? Have good success and health. That's what we want for those who are lost. And there are totally people in our beautiful nation that are lost. You see it all the time. I don't have to tell you because you see it like I see it. But the second those people that you think are unreachable repent, God accepts them. And they're in the same place you are with Jesus. Imagine that. The second that the person that you're thinking in your head, whoever you're thinking, stands up and says, you know, I was wrong, Lord, forgive me. Bang, there you are, your brother and sister. Because that's how God works. That's what we want for our children. The second they realize what they're doing. The second they realize how out of the Word of God they are. The second they do, bang, you have a new child. You have a new son. You have a new daughter. You have a new family. You have a new husband, a new wife. You have a new brother, a new sister. All of a sudden, things are different. It has to be because they become different. They've accepted God in a way that you didn't think possible because you allowed God to work in them. You didn't enable them. You didn't tell them that what they were doing was right. Amen? You tried to say it, but just like I said before, they make their own choices just like you've made your own choices. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why we pray continually for the lost. That's why we pray for all of us to repent daily, turning away. There is too much to lose here, and this is interesting again. I wish people were here to hear this. Please, maybe you can share this with somebody. Hello, recorder. Thank you. There's too much to lose here. Do you ever think of that? Some people, and I think it's interesting, actually worry about losing their salvation. Have you ever heard anybody say, can I lose my salvation? Well, can I lose my salvation? And the Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think that's pretty good evidence that we're not going to lose our salvation. Because once you accepted Jesus into your heart, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. But I think it's interesting that that's what they worry about. Yet they fail to see how sin in their lives today can make them lose so much. Sin in your life today can make you lose things today. It's true. As if God wants to take from you something that is lying to you. Imagine that. They fight so hard to give up that sin that they're doing, as if God is saying, you just give it up and I'll bless you, because that sin you're doing, whatever it is you're doing, it's lying to you. You think you're helping people, you're not. You think you're doing good, you're not. You think you're acting right, you're not. Repent, and I will bless you, and I will remove that sin from you, and perhaps the other people in your life will see it and feel it and understand what you're doing, and they also will repent. Isn't that victory? Praise the Lord. Allowing others to sin, unforgiveness, anger. Sometimes we get angry. That's enabling. Sometimes, which helps no one really. When you do stuff like that, it doesn't help anybody. It does not lead to repentance. Last page. I know, if I know it's wrong, that's not enough. You admit, oh, I have a sin, this is what I'm doing, I admit I'm sinning. Danny, that's not enough. You all understand that? Not enough. You feel sorry that you're sinning? Not enough. Understand, we talked about this, and this is so interesting that just, I never heard it like this. I wish I heard it a long time ago. There were people around Jesus. Anybody here, Jesus? I love Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There were multitudes around him. Multitudes around him. And they were bumping into him. Bumping into Jesus. Were they saved? No. Were they healed? No. Did something great happen to them? No, they just bumped into this guy. So knowing about him and bumping, and people heard him speak. Did it change your heart? Not everybody. So hearing him speak wasn't a miracle. Bumping into him wasn't a miracle. Seeing with your own eyes wasn't a miracle. What was the miracle? Repenting and turning their life to him. Saying, Lord, accept me. Lord, come, I accept you in my heart. That was the miracle. Hallelujah. So when you say, I feel bad, God said, well, that's pretty good. You feel bad. Okay, well. Or you say, I know what's wrong that I'm doing. So God said, good, that's good. You're wrong. You know, but you're still doing it. We want to help others, but are we really helping them? I know my bride and I, and you all have family, and you all want to help people, and we got some that are not as better off, but sometimes you have to realize that they've taken advantage of my compassion. It's not helping them at all, because they're not really turning to God. They're turning to more. They want more because we gave more, and because of our compassion. And we listened to the words, but the words never changed. The action never changed. But we kept giving, but the words didn't change. So finally we said, that's enough. Lord, we know that we don't want us to be taken advantage of. You know we don't want to be abused. We don't want to be lied to. We don't want to hear those words, Lord. So we're going to stand with you. Thank you, Jesus. We had to repent. Isn't that interesting? You think you're doing all these good things, and then you realize, I got to repent because I'm getting in God's way. Whew. God has corrected us many times. And this, I hate it. Boy, anybody ever hear this? It's for your own good. I'm doing this for your own good. Hurts me more than it hurts you. Nope. But you do that sometimes for the good of those you love the most. Repenting is simply given to God, changing your heart. It's not a bad thing, church. It's a blessing. And it's the blessing start with you. You get blessed when you repent, when you turn back. That's wonderful. It just falls on everyone when you do. You turn back, trust God. You're free from the lies. Those are lies that you're talking to yourself. Those things that you keep doing and you say you're doing it for God, that you're lying, because you're not. God never told you to do stuff. God never told you to speak like that, act like that, and do those sinful things. He wants you to be healthy. Why do we always fight against God for being healthy? I said it before. Just think about that. We fight against God to be healthy. We fight against God and we're going to lose things today. We're worried about salvation and we can lose things today because of our choices. It's not a bad thing. It's another blessing. And it falls on all of us. So I say, turn back and trust God and free from the lies. Confess again your words, your deeds, your habits. You know, sometimes we close one eye. Oh, yeah, that's not really bad. Forgiveness and repenting. But here's probably, everything is so important with me when I'm writing these sermons. everything. But this is, I want you to understand, and if there's anything you do today, first, forgive yourself today, right now. Forgive yourself. Bible says you confess your sin to God, He forgives you. I read that before. So you forgive yourself. And here's the thing, don't say you're not known for your forgiven, because then you're calling God a liar. You just say, forgive yourself. You're starting over right this minute. Every time you repent, that's kind of cool. No matter what age you are, every time you repent, you're starting right over again. Declare. He said, repent and your sins will be blotted out. That's a lot. That's nice. But I would tell you this morning, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking of this message, forgive yourself. That's the first person you need to forgive, because He's forgiven you. And then you're going to pass that on, you see. But you forgive yourself first. No more guilt. If you have guilt, you haven't forgiven yourself. And God said, well, I've forgiven you. So whatever you carry, see, then you've got to repent. Again. Because you won't forgive yourself. I repent. Change of heart. And here's the thing with repentance. Your actions can lead others to the God you love so much. To their repentance. To their salvation. Give Him praise. That's it. To their salvation. Imagine that. I know I've told you, and I like to confess, I have a son in Arizona. I don't confess to my son in Arizona, but love him. But I don't know how much of God he knows. I don't. I know his mother probably doesn't have much of God in her life right now, so every day I have to pray for him. I have to do things and try to see. We all have things to pray, but we all have things to believe on. We all have things that we have to trust God with. Amen. So we're all going through things and we're all believing, but you keep praying and you keep repenting and you keep talking to God and just trusting Him. It's probably the hardest thing to do sometimes when you're going through something. And I know you're all going through things. It might be different than what Doreen and I are going through, but you're all going through stuff. But we're a family. So when one person goes through it, we're all going through it. And when one testimony comes in, it's for all of us. When God answers one prayer in this house, it's for all of us. All of us. And that you hear that prayer answered and you say, wow, Brother Greg had so many medical issues last year. I mean, he couldn't walk, his legs. He didn't even know if he... And there he's better today than he was a year ago, and I give God the praise and the glory. Whether he does or not, I mean, that's what I'm saying. When you pray for somebody, it doesn't matter what they think. I see the miracle and I give God the praise and the glory because I see him. I see how handsome he looks. And I see how much he loves his beautiful partner is number one. I'm sorry, Greg sees your better half.
Better half.
And you all don't see. How Brother Greg takes care of Sister Faith. You know, but you see her smile. And you know that it just, you don't, but the miracle that happened to him, I mean, he was standing up and asking for prayer. We've been praying. Yeah, we pray for your hand, your wrist, your shoulder. Next thing you know, there he is. Does he still have aches and pains? Yes. Anybody here not have aches and pains? Madison, sit down.
I'm getting another shot.
She's an ache and a pain, trust me. You might be the world and all to your grandmother, but you're, never mind. Nana. But that's, see, we've had healings. Deacon Chuck and I spent some time out just the other day. We spent some time out looking for animals. They didn't show up, so we were probably happy they didn't, because we were too cold to do anything about it if they did. I was in the, David will appreciate this, we was in the blind and we were out there looking at animals, and I drew my bow back three times, and I'm thinking the third time was just, and he's just laughing at me all the time, because the colder you get, the just doesn't want to come back. The wheels don't work, and your arms don't work. And so he finally said, what do you think? And I said, I was right there with him, let's go. But it just, that's why two people together, see, we have a story that we have together, that's why two people are better. But listen, that's the message for today, and I want you all to be blessed. And God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. That's why the stronger you stay with God, the better chance your family will be blessed and your children and your loved ones. And you pray for those who are lost, like I do every single day for my son. I pray for him every single day that he just finds God. I ask, you know, I can't do it, so I ask God to send somebody who can talk to him. Because everybody has other friends that they can reach. You never know who's going to say the right thing to them. But the same for your children, and the same for your loved ones. You pray for them and do what God called you to do. Don't do anything more than he's called you to do. And remember, you want them to come to repentance, you have to let them go through trials and tribulations. You have to let them learn. And then when they start to, then you can start feeding them a little bit until they turn and say, I want that God you're talking about. What's this God you're talking about? And then you have the victory. Isn't that great? We all have victory with the Lord. Give him praise. I'm sorry, I'm going on. Yes, I was going to wait until I told Brother John. John, can we give a testimony?
Next week.
That's what I see. Mrs. C, I see I was ahead of you. Repent, woman. A house full of women. You didn't buy that at all, did you? I want you to know something about the house full of women thing. And my quizzes that I look up, that was actually one of the answers. I usually take credit for the good ones, but I had nothing to do with that. And I saw that and I said, oh yeah, I got to put that one down. And none of you bought into that. Not that's good or bad, I don't know. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, he loves you. I love that scripture said he loved us before we loved him. That he knew us in the womb. That's known us a long time, right? He knew you in the womb. As you were being formed, he had plans for you. Isn't that amazing? Maybe he had plans for you to be the greatest baseball player or football player or maybe the best architect or maybe the best doctor or best scientist in the whole world. He had a plan for you. He had a plan for Einstein, right? He had a plan for all these great people that we read about and talk about. Maybe that's a plan. He has a plan. In the womb, he knew you. And he knew the plan. He knew the plan before the world was created. That we would need a Savior. We would need somebody to cover our sins. We would need a sacrifice so perfect that it would be finished and God's work can continue. And that sacrifice was, of course, Jesus. So let's take the bread. And this is simply remembering his sacrifice for us. He took that bread and broke it and blessed it and poured it, handed it all around everybody, and they all had some. And he looked at them and said, this is my body that will be torn for you. Whew, was it ever. But I want you to understand and I want you to remember, so I want you to eat this bread. Something that you do that you'll remember. Eat this bread and then do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Church, repent, change of heart. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for my iniquities, even this morning, Lord. Any thoughts I had that weren't from you, any feelings I had that weren't from you, anything I was holding on to that was blocking my blessing, Lord, I want my blessings. I want to forgive, Lord, as you've forgiven us. I want to lead people to you as you are, Lord. I want to repent this morning. He poured wine into a cup. And he said, this is my blood that will be shed for you, according to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins. Some people say, well, that wasn't actually in the Bible. That was just added. Well, those three words could be just added, but he did this for the remission of our sins. He died on that cross for the remission of our sins, for salvation, for eternity. That's why he did this. And he told them to drink. Take me inside of you and do this in remembrance of me when you do this in Jesus' name. Somebody be healed today. Praise God from where all the blessings flow. All of us praise him here. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the promises of the Bible. Thank you that you love us, that you accept us, our sins, Lord, that you help us to heal our sins and remove our sins when we turn our hearts back to when we repent, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for you being God and not us, Lord. Thank you for being merciful to your children and loving us in ways that man cannot understand. We just love you, Lord, and we worship you in this house. We give this offering to you, to this church. Thank you, Lord, for the givers, the cheerful givers in this church who bless the place that they come. Every time they see this building, they know that they've put a part and a deposit in that bank with you, Lord. He said, give and it shall be given back. Not just with money, but with love and with kindness and with forgiveness. It will be given back to you. God said, I will bless you when you give. So thank you for this offering, Lord, and may you multiply it like the fish and the bread. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Lord. You want to be blessed? God is waiting to bless you every minute. Repent, forgive, believe, draw closer, flee from the devil. All those little promises are yours for today. For today. Don't worry about losing salvation. You're already sealed. But trust God with things today. You want your children? I know I do. You want your children to believe. You want your children to see God. You want your children to grow just like you all grow. You want them to be strong? Then let them become strong. Give them a reason to become strong. Let them see God in you. Let them understand what God does in people's lives. Let them trust you and love you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this attendance, Lord. What a beautiful morning at Second Congregational. Thank you, Father. The Lord bless you and keep you. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. Who wouldn't want that? And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Who wouldn't want that? Lord, we ask you also to bless the United States of America. Brother Zippy, come on. Brother John's got the flag out. Thank you, Lord. May you bless our nation.
Yes.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the oceans, white with foam. God.